Welcome, allies, woo, to our Halloween Dark of the Moon to New Moon election and beyond participatory astro-animism. So Dark of the Moon is when people gather to determine the course of culture. Let's do it. And the New Moon tomorrow is the secret soul of America. It will be at 9 plus Scorpio, which is, if you look at the back of a $100 bill, there's a clock tower on it with a quite specific time. And if you do a chart for America using that time, it gives 9 Scorpio rising. I love that degree. Its images, fellowship supper reunites all beings, all comrades, all allies. And that's what this country is supposed to be. So tomorrow's new moon, the sun and the moon at 9 plus Scorpio, is a heartening augury to animate the desirable vision. So we are welcoming longtime ally Heather Rowan Robbins. We've known each other for a bazillion years, that we all may co-navigate, dedicate, envision, inaugurate the most desirable story. Remember, the word inaugurate comes from the augur, the pattern-tracking being within us all who walks out into nature, a good idea, and nature by her patterns will reveal the, you know, appropriate, responsible enough person that's good for the earth and all of her flora, fauna, fungi, citizens. We're Nemesis will be on call. Right, Heather reminded me. Nemesis was the goddess of retribution for evil deeds and undeserved good fortune. Yeah, she gets a bad rap, but she's really, you'll see, she was a personification of dynamic balance aroused in men by those who committed crimes with apparent impunity or who had undeserved good fortune. She directed human affairs in such a way as to maintain equilibrium, kind of kin to Dark Moon Lilith, which we'll introduce all these beings, the balance point, now at 13 plus Libra, whose Sabian is tuning into the social dreams which weave the politics of a situation. Welcome, Dark Moon Lilith. And before Nemesis got a bad rap, she was the destroyer of unjust empire. I guess just in case there's any just empire. Her name was derived from the Greek word nemesis, and nemo meaning dispenser of dues. So it's a time of positive intrigue. I always love the Richard Farina quote, take the zircon to Fapa and tell him we ride tonight. So Heather Rowan Robbins is a practical, intuitive, choice-oriented astrologer, yes, interfaith minister, author of Star Codes book, the Star Codes Astro Oracle Deck and other books, the weekly Star Codes forecast, and contributes to the Wee Moon calendar. I have mine for next year already. She organizes the Shining Mountain Grove, I almost said grave, Grove for the Order of Bards, Ovets, and Druids, and has an online global practice based in Montana. Her website is Rowan, R-O-A-N, Robbins, R-O-B-B-I-N-S.com. Welcome. Welcome, Heather.
Well, it's so good to be here again with you, Caroline. We have cavorted over decades and many states.
Yeah, no, many, many. I was at your wedding, but we knew in ourselves in Providence, Rhode Island, where we went to the adorable, White Light Bookstore, which was oldie-timey, working-class astrologers, chain-smoking, who kept the torch alive, which was really super great. Mm-hmm. And then just as a sidebar, Robert at Open Secret Bookstore Cultural Center is closing, bless their heart. You can find out about their closing party at their website. But Amakayla Gaston and I will be their last act on November 12th at 6:20 p.m. It's a cool degree because what's rising is 50 in Gemini, which is woman gives rousing speech on behalf of the earth. May that be all of us.
Perfect.
And you can find the link to purchase tickets on Open Secret's website or coyotenetworknews.com website. All right, now back to us. All right, so I'll put that to one side. Oh, and just on that time, well, there's a lot to animate that night, and it is the closing out and the diaspora and all the ageless wisdom that Open Secret has kept, and we all embody it. The moon will be at 12 Aries, which is cooling out hot situations. May we all be good at that. All right, so now here we are back to us and the chart of now and the new moon and the election and many places we may want to go. So there's Nemesis, and then you had mentioned this crucial thing that is a new part. You know, Venus is out of bounds. Do you want to, until December 3rd? Yes,
and
what's that?
You know, when a planet is out of bounds, the bounds we describe is where the sun traverses the sky from its northernmost latitude to its southernmost latitude. And as long as planets are staying within that band, they seem to behave, you know, they interact, but they also behave like they're expected to behave. But when a planet is out of bounds, it's out of its box, which means its potential is limitless, but so is the trouble it can cause. Trump was born with both Mercury and Pluto out of bounds, and the way he communicates and talks and his idea of power are without the structure that, you know, that consensual reality can offer us. But right now, Venus is out of bounds. And so that means that our feminine energy, the anima and the culture and the role of women, it is not constrained by the normal bounds. It'll be there until December 3rd. It goes out, you know, every now and then. Often the planets do. It's good to check. And when, but that seems to say, it's just recently, just a few days ago, stepped out. That role of feminine energy is not constrained to what the world expects of it.
So oh, that's great.
I'm quite excited about that.
That's great. Enthused. We are enthused. And her Sabian is a rebirth, sunrise, service, new morning, renewal of hope, sharing a dream, dramatic comebacks, darkest hour before the dawn, inner vitality winning out over outer circumstance, joyous rediscovery. And we go, we'll go for that. And
well, that's
she's right
perfect.
Next to... Yeah, well, it is, and it's right next to that little asteroid Pallas Athena that we draw as a diamond on a cross, prismatic perspective at 18 plus Sagittarius, another favorite degree of mine, just because Greta Thunberg was born in that generation with Pluto at 18 plus Sagittarius. Its images, pelicans disturbed by men, move to safer places. And I love how we don't need to know astrology. Jane Fonda's Venus is 18 Sagittarius. And she said it's because of Greta Thunberg that she's dedicating, you know, the last chapter of her life to resolving climate change. So and so it's like 18 Sagittarius. So Venus has that. Again, pelicans disturbed by men moving to safer places. May our species have manners again. Yeah, so there's that dynamic.
And Pallas Athena is, you know, was born fully armed with a helmet on. She can speak the truth and is ready to do so and take on all the big boys. Venus is also opposed to Jupiter right now, which Jupiter is bigger than all the other planets put together and expands whatever it touches. So it also is amping up the energy of that Venus in Sagittarius, which holds some of that Diana energy. Venus in Sagittarius is the Sagittarius, the archer. It's someone who connects to the natural world, who reaches out, who is not contained in a village, and but comes from a village but is not contained by that village, which is a beautiful energy to have right now. Now, at a good counterpoint to the very self-protective Mars in Cancer, at the moment, which is not necessarily a bad place. It can be protecting whatever and defending what, you know, the homeland, what matters, what, you know, the ecosystem, but it can move us into defenses quickly. And it's moving into an exact opposition with Pluto at the last degree of Cancer and the last degree of Capricorn tomorrow. And then it goes into Leo and gives us a different, you know, acts out even more. It should be really... The headlines should be interesting this weekend, but right now I think it's going to be the protective.
Right, and Jupiter's image, Sabian, is a labor demonstration uniting all beings in unions, right? It's an unusually political degree, and we go unions, Venus, unions. So unions, big part of this dynamic in every resonant way. We go, ooh. And then what you said about Venus and Sagittarius, it's with a little semi-square to the moon in Scorpio. So let's say we all belong to a sizzly tradition, everyone, in a little semi-square. But remember, we may well have been heretics. And as Pat Ewing reminds us all the time, the word heretic was a term of praise in early religion. Boy, that, fill in your name, sure is a great heretic, because it meant cross-pollinating, here comes Venus, contributor to culture, so that knowledge never degraded into dogma or superstition. The woman, the wizard, the witch, who goes out, you know, I'm in the community, but with one foot out the door, and I'm out of bounds too. And I return with a dream and with things, you know, again, the value of many, 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 many different people, many, many different traditions, many foods, many cultures, many everything. So we have unions and immigrants unified. We go, we love them. We love them. We'd be nothing without unions and immigrants. Welcome, welcome. Protecting the earth. So that's a rousing part of the dynamic. And so the heretic would, you know, cast, all of us, cast net of curiosity widely, different cultures and food and everything, inhale, collage them, bring them back to the village, and go, here's coffee, check this out. Here's a poem from three centuries ago. Here's the custom of political free range from these people. So we love that. She's out of bounds. Which in Sagittarius, which is really great. And so it's a great heretical tradition, which is in keeping with the grotesque cartoon Inquisition that seems to have risen from the swampy depths into like, yeah, with all of its exposed ugliness. So I do love that. Yes, Mars, tomorrow on the new moon, the secret soul of America, new moon, fellowship supper reunites old comrades, you know, heretics and unions and immigrants. It will be exactly opposite Pluto, 29 Cancer, 29 Capricorn. That's this whole story cycle, you know, as if you've been following us, you know, began on the full moon of July 21st, 2024, when the sun was at 29 Cancer and the moon was at 29 Capricorn. This is a kind of completion of that. It was a huge tide, you know, and as we remember, you know, it's Octavia Butler wrote her book in 1993, The Parable of the Sower, that begins on July 21st, 2024, where a terrible, cruel autocrat is running for president. She wrote this in 93, right? And she gets it right. I mean, climate crisis and women's rights and, you know, terrible things and immigrants being persecuted and, you know, I mean, all she gets it all right. But in her novel, the autocrat is running against a befoibled, and Gaza, man, but who is a pale ghost, and the autocrat wins, right? So I've been talking to Octavia. We talk to the dead. Come on in and do a story rewrite. And it was on that full moon, really, exactly, when Biden handed the baton to Kamala Harris. Yep. Like, here's a full moon tide. She's born at a full moon. You mentioned Donald Trump is born at a full moon. It's a full moon thing. And then
all three of them are born at the full moon.
Right. And
Biden,
then, you know,
Trump and Harris, all born on the full moon.
Ooh, all right. So, right, and so the full moon of July 21st and then the full moon of August 19th, which was the DNC, again, should have included Rep. Rua, but she's just voted for Kamala Harris and has a brilliant, deep, 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 earned, anguished, earned, beautiful essay in Rolling Stone about how she came to vote for Kamala Harris on behalf of Palestinian people. Not an easy decision, but just check that out. And then this full moon tide, like, ooh, we're at the low tide now, brings us to the new moon and this whole cycle. So here we are. That's it.
And that's beautiful. There's also, at the moment, a beautiful trine with Mercury, Neptune and Mars in exact trine that's being bisected, forming a kite with that Pluto-Mars opposition. But what a trine at 27 Scorpio to 27 Pisces to 28 Cancer. And that a chance to, you know, it's the argument about are the differing visions. And yesterday when it was exact, the description was two differing visions for how the world, how our country will proceed. And you can see that the idea of vision with that Mercury-Neptune trine, what is the story, what's the dream, what's the myth that we'd like to live out? Do we want to, you know, move it forward, or are we sitting in the fear pace? And it was really interesting to watch that. Now, when I look at the USA chart with Trump and Harris on it, Trump's sun is right on America's Mars, and so tries to speak for that Mars. Whereas the Kamala has her sun Mercury in our, depending upon which system you'd use, speaking out in for it squares the Pluto. It's kind of she challenges the power base here in the country, and it's a trine to our moon. She speaks for the moon in Aquarius, the people of the country, which is, it's not unproblematic, but it's a really powerful lineup there.
I can always hear my teammates, the grumpy progressive part of a team that lives inside us all, going and says, but there's freedom here, vote, devote, and the power of dedication. I want to, Kamala's got her, when we fight, we win. I'm like, well, okay, you've got the moon in Aries, you can do that. But when we dedicate, we win. And there's a symbolic, a powerful and literal symbolic, so that when we vote, we are voting for the desirable story, voting for the desirable story. In our election magic council and many other things that I'm cahooting on, we draw our own ballots. Like I'm printing out the Maryland ballot and then going, what we're really voting for, what we're really voting for. And a great time on the new moon to, I will be doing this, to take your decorated, desirable ballot out into nature and leave it there as an offering. To engage the backstage spirits that we inaugurate, the right chance for the earth to bloom, however that may play out, right? And so it's, we look at everything, but we are, it's like in past ones, a lovely teammate, Evangeline from Minnesota, said in 2020, she goes, oh, I was going to vote, third party. I was going to vote my conscience. I was like, no, don't do that. But you are guiding me to more freedom. I can vote for what I really want and vote for the candidate. And so that's what she's been doing. And I go, all right, that's really good. So however we want to navigate that. And let's bring in all the good witches, all the good witches. Among my favorite witches, all homage. We speak to the dead, to Terry Pratchett, wonderful writer of animistic witch novels and just profound, pertinent, and witty. And his great character, Granny Weatherwax. Let's bring in Granny Weatherwax to our community, in our inner community. And I love when she's going to do something impossible to protect the community. Everyone goes, you can't do that. You can't do that. Million to one chances against you. And she smiles in a way that would make wolves whimper and said, million to one chances crop up 9 times out of 10 when your heart is dedicated. So buzz off. And then she does the impossible good thing. I love that. And then she also says, we're witches. We don't do nice. We do kind, right? But remember, the word nice comes from nescient, which means ignorant. Be a nice little girl. It means ignorant, right? So it's like we're witches, we don't do nice. And great Tiffany Aiken, the young girl witch in Terry Pratchett's novels, who is in charge of dispelling the mob mind that the con man, the cunning man has created that draws forth the murderous worst of everybody in the fabulous novel, I Shall Wear Midnight. Also really great on Audible. But it's very pertinent, right? And again, the cunning man has come to town and created mob mind and the young girl witch within us all. Her job is to dissolve the mob mind that draws forth the worst and to create, the atmosphere that draws forth the best, and that's warped. The artists of atmosphere. And then let me toss this to you. So I've been, sometimes with others, but mostly I found that it's really been mostly me enthusiastic for this. I wanted, and I haven't given up, to go, Joe Biden, Mercury is right on your sun, SUN, king of the fairies. You could come back into alignment with your soul and you could be re-embraced by your Celtic magic heritage if, trine Neptune, exactly. If you do some Hail Mary, maybe you're working on it now, backstage guy, to The new moon would be great. Tomorrow would be great. Definitely before the election. Some crucial big thing to bind Bibi, to stop the carnage, to establish borders, secure borders, you know, for Palestinian state and Israel, all troops withdrawn, you know, and relief pouring in, you know, just, you know, binding, you know, no weapons to, you know, to murderous states, calling in Nemesis, you know, that Lebanon be safe, be Gaza be safe, may the West Bank be safe, may, you know, all creatures be safe. So I've been going, oh, there's a perfection to his engagement now. We can speak to him and open the portals this way. Come on this way. Mm-hmm. You can do it. You have more freedom than you've ever had before. Come on. Come on. Stand up to Bibi. You know, redeem your soul. You owe it to the Palestinian people. You owe it to the earth. You owe it to Kamala and Tim. You owe it to all of us. You can do this. You can reclaim your soul. So I've been doing it, you know, and people have been like, eh, yeah. And then, you know, I found myself getting impatient, going, oh, just, and it's like, no,
just do
we
it.
We just put it on the altar of desirable mystery without expectation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Expectation is the partner of disappointment. But with willingness, will like intending, you know, and will like whatever the other way. We're willing it. We are available. And we're intending, available, intending, dedicating. Just Granny Weatherwax would back this up, do some impossible things. But he is right in the middle of the grand trine. Mercury's on his sun. Neptune's exactly trining his thing, which could be delusional dementia, you know, I mean, whatever. If you know, there's a lot of ways it could go. But we go, no, protecting life. Remember, you know, this part of your soul has been so good in the past, most, you know, domestic progressive president we've ever had, but this egregious, I can't believe he didn't see anything that Bisan has sent out or any of the feed from Gaza. I can't believe that he would see the grief of parents and children by which he's so, you know, kinned. And I just want to send him, you know, that you love your grandkids. May they be all grandkids. You know the grief of a parent losing a child. May you feel that, and it may it expand. Like, oh my God, I've been a dingbat. You know, let me redeem myself now for the sake of the world. That's my prayer.
A beautiful prayer. And one of the pieces that I'm seeing looking at the American chart and the progressed American chart, whether you use the Scorpio rising or the Sag rising, we've still recently been through our first progressed lunar new moon in Pisces since the inception of the country. And that was either 6 or 8 months ago, depending upon which of those two charts you use. But at that we saw how at the best we could see how compassionate we could be as a country. But it's happening right at the bottom of the chart. So it's a time when America sees that it doesn't have that much power in the world. That I think one of the things we're seeing in the Mideast is how little purchase we had on the situation. And that if we, you know, in a few months, our progressed moon heads into Aries. And there is a lot of action happening in the next few years as Saturn goes into Aries and Neptune goes into Aries. But right now, do we have any power in the world? And how do we begin to re-envision that and use it as leadership for peace? And I think that that the place of, you know, I don't, you know, to see how little influence we had over the Mideast. We may have some. I'm not saying we don't. And I think I wish that, I hope, I pray with you that Biden uses what power he does have to turn that ship. But I think one of the things we've been seeing is how little control we have.
Yeah, well, that's why we're calling in Nemesis, right? Again, the
right.
Enemy of unjust empires. Just again,
yes.
If we don't know what to do, invite in what does, right? And
right.
So you inspired me to. I remember there's some important. I couldn't find it. Left wing historian that KPFA has hosted that did a beautiful speech on Nemesis as a beautiful goddess, right? Not the bad rap, you know, but fierce.
Mm-mm.
And she's the daughter of the goddess Nyx, night. There is no father mentioned, right? And the little bits I've hobbled together, this parentage would make Nemesis an early goddess of a generation that predates Zeus. It predates the boy gods, right? Predates Zeus and the gods of Mount Olympus. Most sources would describe Nemesis as a beautiful maiden, often with wings to allow her to travel swiftly to where she's needed. She was the Greek goddess of retribution and the dispenser of dues. But she was more than a goddess dealing with evildoers, for Nemesis also ensured that there was balance in the life of men and women. It was Nemesis who ensured an equal balance of happiness and sadness, as well as good and bad luck. Thus, Nemesis would often have to deal with the consequences when Tyche, Greek goddess of good fortune, was too generous. We can think of some situations, right? Despite predating Zeus, Nemesis was often connected with the supreme deity, and it was she who was dispatched to deal, to deal with mortals who believed that they were superior to the gods. So she is the dissolver of hubris. I love that. I love that. May the hubris of humanism be eclipsed by the truth of animism. Equal, all beings equal, all humans equal, all Mars and Venus equal, all men and women equal, all humans and the earth equal. That's part of what's brewing backstage, and the mystery of Uranus stationing at 23 plus Taurus in January, end of January into February, which is where the sun was when Israel was founded. And we go, we are going to need some miracles. What would it mean that the principle of insisting on equality transits a state or an empire? We go, either we cooperate with it, we encourage cooperation. But I think, for us now, it says dream big, play fair. What is the situation so dire we can't afford the luxury of realism. If backstage gods are whispering to us going, big changes, what's the quality of the big changes you humans would like? As we draw on everybody, as Reverend Ike used to say, you can go to the ocean with a thimble or a bucket, but the ocean thinks you're silly if you go, please give me a thimble full of water. We'd like a bucket. Buckets of surprising change and renaissance. Just come on, team, and to dissolve the glamour. They're just in our magic backpacks, we accouter ourselves with many things. Back to the wisdom of Terry Pratchett. There's a face there. The Queen of the Fairies was a malevolent person, but she's switched sides, and she's talking to the witches and saying, oh, you have no idea what you're up against. And the witches are, we're witches, we can do it. And the Queen of the Fairies goes, let me just give you a taste of glamour. And she goes, pfft. And the witches go, it's sort of like a Hillary Clinton Galadriel thing going, but if I were ruling, yes, I would be a great priestess. I would change my name to something fantastic. I would be the best. And then, I'm nothing. I'm a fraud. I'm nothing. And they collapse in the dirt. And then they go, wow, that's really strong. And the Queen of the Fairies goes, you see? And she teaches them this chant, which is actually from the We Free Men, Yon Tan Tethera, which apparently means 1, 2, 3 in Fiegel language. And Yon Tan Tethera dispels the imprisoning glamour, of the up to no good. So just everybody, just, experiment. Everybody's got it in your magic backpack. You can pull it out and go, Yon Tan Tethera. When you go to the voting booth, Yon Tan Tethera. When you step out in the morning, good morning, Yon Tan Tethera. Whatever. It's like we want some whimsy. The irony and dark humor and playfulness that is earned and comes out of places under extreme pressure, coal pressed into diamonds kind of thing. And we go, right, so dark humor and irony and some jauntiness and playfulness, which is how we are invited to journey into the dark realms, the underworld, where, we're at the dark of the year. Yeah, and it's soon approaching twilight here in the East Coast, Washington, D.C., and twilight. And I love that... my friend Gioia Timpanelli says, twilight in fairy tales, it's where things happen. The twilight of the year, that's where we are. The twilight of the day, The Twilight of Empire. It's neither night nor day. It's anything could happen realm. So I went out on an emergency run for, you know, corporate candy but for tonight, because I am the witch in the neighborhood. And the neighborhood's changed. It's pretty straight conventional families, but there's little children who are witches and wizards, you know. But I did go to my small, privately or you know, owned non-corporate tiny pharmacy. I love them. So yeah, and I just put a little sign out going, "The witch is doing live radio till after twilight. You know, help yourself." But you know, oh, welcome, magic citizens of the earth, known as children. You know, take candy and send a blessing for the earth out into the night sky. So that's the note that I left.
That's beautiful.
Oh, beautiful. Here we are. Here we are. So soon. We're just at our midpoint. My wonderful, wonderful guest ally in perpetuity, backwards and forwards, is Heather Rowan Robbins. We have some appropriate break music from the Wayback Machine just to contribute to the atmosphere. Here is Donovan.
Many sights to see, and when I look in my window, so many different people to be, that it's strange, so strange. You got to pick up every stitch. Pick up every stitch. You got to pick up every stitch. Must be the season of the witch. Must be the season of the witch. Yeah. Must be the season of the witch. Looking over his shoulder at me, and he's strange, sure is strange. You got to pick up every stitch. You got to pick up every stitch, yeah. Beatniks out to make it.
Oh, the 1960s atmosphere. Beautiful. Wafting in. It's such a great song. And Donovan, I learned, sometimes listens to this show. I was so excited when we got an email.
Wonderful.
From the real Donovan, when I hosted Celtic People. Hello, in case you're there. That was a big thrill. Going, ooh, so 60s. And we have two candidates, not only you know, Full Moon Kamala Harris and Full Moon Joe Biden and Full Moon the former guy, you know, and yes, but our candidate, our two candidates, Tim Walz, whom I really love him as a decent human, great guy of infinite complexity, reading trippy, interesting novels, you know, and kind, and a blustery large guy who learned how to listen. I love all his students saying, he really listened to me. It was the first time a man really listened and changed his mind when he listened to me. So I love him. So they are 1964 dragons, right? So we're electing real things, but also imbue it with dedicated symbolism. And, you know, Donovan's got their back. There we go. So 1964, dragon energy. It's a dragon year. And Ursula Gwynne says, those who do not listen to dragons are doomed to live out the nightmares of politicians. And
oh, that's perfect.
It is. And I wanted to come back and toss this to you because people, you know, our interior council of like, I'm tired of the duopoly and the two parties. It's like, this might be the last two-party election. Mm-hmm. The reason I say that is Pluto and Capricorn going, what structures need to be dissolved? And as Pat Ewing points out, you know, Republicans will never again vote across party lines. And I love the co-chair of the Republicans for Harris in Pennsylvania was asked, you know, well, you want to reinvent the Republican Party. So what does success look like to you? And he goes, it looks like complete failure. We've got to completely wipe out this Republican Party so that we can rebuild, you know, something. You know, and we go, all right, complete whoosh, whoosh. And the restructuring, it's like, it's not even exactly right now the Democratic Party. It's the pro-democracy, Earth has a chance party, all right? And it's not even, you know, holding on to its label. It's like, you know, Democrats and Republicans, you know, as a two-party system into the cauldron. You know, this might be the last one. What everybody wishes is in the works. You know, just do what you can. Do what you can. You know, all things are in play, some backstage. And, you know, and Rep. Rua, in her earned, anguished decision to vote for Kamala Harris, which she just did, again, Rolling Stone article, invite you to listen to it, going, you know, what is truly best, you know, for everybody, and what is best for immigrants as well as Palestinians? Mm-hmm. We can work with Harris, and Harris has done immeasurable good for Palestinians backstage, she said. And it's like, yeah, I mean, we're all like, oh, because the horror is so great. That's why we really want to call in Nemesis and everything and amazing things. So I like, I mean, do you like that idea that Mars opposite Pluto could be the end of the two-party system?
Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? Bring in ranked voting. And I see that as a potential on November 19th. Pluto goes into Aquarius until 1943, so it's going to be in there for a nice long time. And, you know, Pluto takes whatever sign it's in to the edge of death and rebirth. And it took Pluto in Capricorn, brought the dictators out of the woodwork, but it also had us look at structure and systems and patriarchy, emphasize making it worse so that we could see it and maybe truly let it go in different, you know, the next level of letting go, because this goes around and around. But as it goes into Aquarius, it has us look at population density, people, the crowds, how do we work together? But it's a much more egalitarian, in a circle feeling. I think Aquarius rules the ankles, and it's how we pivot from looking at one person to another. It rules people in a circle working together. And to have Pluto, you know, really transform how we work together. And I'm hoping that one of the first things we let go of is, you know, what we bring in is by bringing in ranked voting, we can start to have alternative candidates. We can break that two-party system apart, because you know that voting for your conscience doesn't mean automatically handing a vote to the other side. Right now, a vote for an alternative candidate like Jill Stein is a vote for Trump, because the way the system is set up. But if you could say, I want this person first and I want them to have the power, and if they don't win, then I want all those votes to go to the second one on my list, that would bring, I think, a much more honest, exciting, and alive way to move forward. And I'm hoping that Pluto in Aquarius, that's one of the pieces that it brings in. At the moment that Pluto goes into Aquarius, we have a grand trine with the Sun in Scorpio, Neptune in Pisces, and the Moon in Cancer. And kind of, again, like we're experiencing this week, how do we vision the next phase? And that the visions that we have, not our fears, but our belief of visions, and not our, you know, wouldn't it be magic if hopes, just magic, but what's our vision that we can actually put some, you know, now we put the sweat equity into making it happen. So that's my hope.
No, absolutely. What do we toss into the cauldron? What do we ladle out? Mm-hmm. We ladle out ranked choice voting. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that makes it, it opens it all up, and it's part of dissolving the old structures, going, right. And there's many, many things, again, you know, many, many things, you know, down, but somebody was doing a whole piece on Dan Osborne in Nebraska as an independent, a fierce independent Senate candidate, and he's up. He's up, and people have said he's the real deal, you know. He's up 36%, and they go, "This could be the upset of the whole 2024 cycle, if a true independent wins in Nebraska." So these small things. Also, remember, you know, Trump making his horrible, you know, like, "Oh well, Mike Johnson, you know, we can always cheat in the Congress and have them appoint us." January 3rd. Is when the new Congress is sworn in, and it elects a new speaker. And if it's a blue, there's nothing Mike Johnson can do, right? That's why it's all these little, small, huge things, right? It's all these huge, you know, the it's tippy, you know, and then January 6th is the ceremonial counting. But also, we want to take back January 6th, right? Because it's Epiphany, it's Twelfth Night, it's when the astrologers, the Magi, arrived, you know, and the Dementors are always hoovering holy dates. And we go, no, that it's when the magic part of all of us shows up this year. Let's just do that. So Dan Osborne in Nebraska, independent Senate, check him out, real deal. Could be a huge upset running against a Dementor, you know. And then you know we go Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico, just the fluidity, you know. Again, the most dissed place by the former guy, and you know, Instagram, right? All these things, you know. Bad Bunny, I didn't know who he was. Right? He has 45 million followers on Instagram, and he's like, "This is outrageous," you know. What he just said. I mean, chiming in late. There's a lot of fluidity, you know. Jennifer Lopez has 250 million followers on Instagram, right? And she's doing a gig with Harris in Nevada tonight. And we go, ooh, right? It's aroused. It's aroused. And keep in mind, everybody, the Senate determines the Supreme Court for 30 years, right? The Senate determines the Supreme. There's a lot on the table, which is why people go, "I'm voting for an independent because I have integrity." I'm like, "I don't know about that. Do you know what's on the table and what we can work with?" You know, and we go, "There's quite a lot on the table." But yeah, no, I like the new Congress sworn in. You know,
but that's the day that Mars and Pluto exactly square again, only in Aquarius and Leo instead of. The exact opposition, I'm sorry, is on January 3rd and then again late April. So the tension that's coming in now, and we're feeling acting out, but in a more defensive and less visionary way of the Pluto, Mars in Cancer and Pluto in Capricorn, switches into Pluto in Aquarius and Mars in Leo, and then echoes again at the end of April. So there's just going to be, you know, whatever happens, it's not going to be easily settled. It's going to there's a lot of remaking, tumult and juicy reconvening, and just it's going to be. You can almost feel the fates kneading the bread here, and that's going to there's a lot rising through, and but I think it's going to be a tricky Congress. Go ahead.
Right. Well, remember Saturn is stationing now. Stationing now at 12 Pisces, which is a sword and a stone. So everybody before our mind's eye is a sword and a stone customized for each one of us. Not a sword of harm, but a sword of truth, which is why I'm sprinkling calamus on the map of America, that the truth be revealed, that we speak truthfully, that, yes, calamus root. And I just, because you gave me Jill Stein's birthday, and not Jill, so Jill Stein is born the same day as Israel, different year, but not by much, but May 14th. But also, Elaine Whitefeather, our great guest of 3 and 4 weeks ago. Really great shows, really great shows. So she will have Yornis stationing on her son, as Israel has it stationing on Israel's son, as, you know, Elaine Whitefeather. I'm rooting for Elaine Whitefeather as the lineage keeper of her people. And when she was on the show, it was so heartening because she was so confident. She goes, my tribal prophetic tradition has known that it will be a mixed race woman who inaugurates the big change that we're all heading into, that it's no more big white daddy, it's a big brown mama, you know. And if I do a noon chart for Jill Stein, it gives the moon at 27 Aries, which is Kamala Harris's moon, right? Uh-huh. Which is an unexpectedly large audience for a woman who liberates them from their expectations. We go, well, that's quirky.
Oh, beautiful.
Her Mars is the same Mars exactly to the degree as Barack Obama's 22 Virgo, which is the U.S. Neptune. So, you know, again, when I first encountered Obama, I go, well, he's Marsing U.S. Neptune. He's animating the desirable vision of the country. And we go, Jill Stein, she's tapped in, but again, what is best for everyone? And we go, oh, it's very quirky. But that's why you gave me the birth date, and I just pulled it up going, oh, right, same birthday as Israel. What will be the big changes of equality there, Israel? And then Elaine Whitefeather, I'm turning it over to her as the senior prophetic tradition going, no, mixed race woman, it's got to be. And I'm kind of rooting for that. But that it's quirky, isn't it? Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Mercury retrograde, she could change her mind. Jill, yes, yeah. I had a very quirky encounter with her at the Democratic Convention, but I'll keep that to myself. But let's just say it raised my hackles going, but anyway, but we love what people think their third party person is. We love that. We just want it to be liberated into deep, deep strategy and soulful walking out into nature going, what is really best for flora, fauna, fungi? You know,
right.
You know, and because Jill's on a lot of ballots, and I see people, you know, I love many, you know, Sim on Instagram, but she's like, I voted for Jill Stein, and the Code Pink people. I'm in North Carolina, and me and my husband voted for Jill Stein. And I just write, you must be very proud and privileged. Right, but so,
yes.
I love that, you know, Scorpio friend of mine, I asked, like, well, what do you do when you have a friend, you know, and you go to their art opening and you can't stand their art, you know, what do you do? And he, being a Scorpio, says, I always tell them, you must be very proud. And it's like, ooh, that's so wicked and scorpionic and really it's a good way out. So you must be very proud. And I'm like, oh, no. Go deeper. You know, and into one's own real dedication. So Saturn is stationing. It goes direct November 15th when there's a full moon. Again, this full moon thing, Taurus, Scorpio. So the election's important, but it's ongoing, you know, and we are dedicating, you know, when we dedicate, you know, we win the infinite game. Keep everything in play. So, yeah, Supreme Court, new Congress, many things, upset things. Let's see where over. I just want to honor, you know, one of my favorite astrologers in all of creation, Geoffrey Cornelius. I just learned he died at the end of August, and he was guest of show and just a brilliant, brilliant colleague. I loved him so much because he was a heretic in the best sense of liberating everything, including astrology. And he had his PhD in the history of divination because the Brits are Tony that way. But on the show and throughout his life, he said, you know, we have most of the questions that people ask the Delphic Oracle. And they're very sensible. It's like, are our plans, are our intentions to vote or what, are our plans in accord with collective well-being, with the gods and the planets? And if not, what should we do to come into accord? It's kind of nemesis-y,
such
balance.
Beautiful line.
Yeah, well, that's great. I mean, we know the Delphic Oracle was also a smartass. You know, when the Greek general says, what will happen if I invade Persia? And the Delphic Oracle says, a great empire will fall. It will be yours. Ha ha. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but mostly it's like each person right now, you know, Saturn, I think, stationing is, what is our deepest dedication? and may the deepest dedication, you know, guide our path through the dark forest now, you know.
Right. And I love the empowerment that that question gives the query. Instead of saying, and I, you know, when clients come to us and say, when will this magic happen in my life? Not how can I, you know, work with the magic to manifest this? You know, that's so much more empowering to say, how do I come into alignment with what is best for all sentient beings? Versus, you know, when is it going to happen and why is it happening to me? I think it's those are very empowering questions that they report asking the Delphic Oracle. And I think we need to ask them here, how can we come in more alignment and contribute towards that collective good?
And it's a great time to talk to the dead. Again, we set up our altars. We talk to the dead. I know so many wonderful dead people. I want to convene with them all. And when you mentioned to us that Pluto enters Aquarius for 24 years on November 19th, and I go, oh, November 19th, that's the date of the Gettysburg Address. Come on in, Abe Lincoln. You know, come on in, all befoibled but good people. You know, and now that you're dead, you're even better. So I like Pluto leaving Capricorn, but grabbing a copy of the Gettysburg Address on his way into Aquarian community, going, we're going to need this. That government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. And we get to improve it by saying that government of the earth, by the earth, for the earth, shall not perish, right? So I love Pluto grabbing a copy on November 19th, going, yeah, I think this is useful. Yeah, because it's all, what do we want to take with us into this next desirable new cycle? You know, and some better phrase than we're not going back. It's like, we're not going back, but where are we going?
Where are we going forward?
Yeah, forward, even forward, not sure. We're spiraling into democratic enemies of the court. Everybody,
how
just
beautiful.
Prime the pump of your own blessings. Blessings. You know, so when I put my little bowl of corporate candy, but bought from a wonderful small neighbor pharmacy, out there, I go, you know, the witch is on the radio until twilight, but do send a blessing, and I put, you know, little cornmeal glyphs around the thing, which I do every morning, and they're like, ooh, the neighborhood's changed. It's right. I am. There's a few eccentrics left, but not many. But they're like, but so I did put, again, ritual is anything we do physically that we imbue with symbolic intent. So I put all the little Jupiter glyphs of cornmeal around the candy bowl and the bird feeder, and my new, I got from Etsy the tidal wave of cats, the blue tidal wave of cats banner. It just arrived, and it's like, yeah, that's, I'm happy with that. That's a good image, the blue tidal wave of cats. Maybe we all be surfing in on that. And that's why I said, you know, step into the magic circle of cornmeal with Jupiter glyphs everywhere and receive
Beautiful.
And send blessing. Receive and send blessing. So there's that. You know, and calling on the dead, calling. Well, there are so many dead people. You know, we want to invite. You know, the dead can vote. You know, what would, you know, great treasured ally Bob Goff? I miss him every day. Great lawyer for the Lakota Sioux, always jaunty when dealing with difficulty, and always willing to find the opening. Because he's like. Sure, you know, the reservations that he's working with in, you know, renewable energy. And he's like, yeah, the Clinton Foundation wants to give us a bunch of bucks for renewable energy. We're not going to say no. You know, no, we don't like your politics. You know, yes, thank you very much. And we weave and navigate, you know, and, you know, and our living allies, too, who in times of disaster, like Dune Lankert and David Grimes, you know, came alive as activists in the Ecocide, the Exxon Valdez, and they're like, oh, grief, 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 but where's the opening? Where's the opening?
Yeah.
All right, we'll take some of this relief money and we will save the entire Copper River Delta. You know, it's the trickster says, this is terrible. What good can we do? Yeah, and
exactly.
I think that's part of the now, yeah.
And I think that if Kamala does indeed succeed here, that it may have taken someone as egregious as her opposition to help America wake up to the potential of a woman of color being our leader. And I'm thrilled that it's happening. On this dark of the moon, on this Halloween, talking to the dead, you know, I think it's a wonderful time to review our dead, to visit with them, to ask for help on this election, but to also remember all the wisdom they imparted to us. The dark of the moon, it's often a review, a filling in with the best of our memories. So to bring our memories to what gifts did our beloved dead give us? What wonderful moment did we have with them? What wisdom did they impart to us? As a way of moving forward,
and in keeping with that, you know, what beautiful opportunities and backstage skills are we being so generously proffered? It would be churlish of us to not participate. And I love the Saturn quintile Uranus moving into exact, which is irresistible eloquence on behalf of democracy, on behalf of equality. And we go right. You know, just raise your hand if you'd like that. Irresistible eloquence. It's such a great angle. Anything can be abused, but it's a capacity to have a true vision that hums like a tuning fork in everyone, so we don't have to convince anybody. They go, yes, we see that now. Let's all paddle together for a unified vision. We can disagree later about things, but we just want a working opening to get us through this tight vise that life can flourish, you know, on the other side. So thank you. Thank you, Heather Rowan Roundtree. We will be in cahoots. Thanks always, you know, Kirsten Thomas, wonderful board up. And Heather's website is rowanrobbins.com, rowanrobbins.com. And I will be doing the last show ever with Amakela Gaston at Open Secret. It closes after that, and that will be November 12th. Yes, November 12th at 6:20 p.m., and you can find out about how to get tickets at Open Secrets, a website, or coyotenetworknews.com. Thank you, team. Thank you, Heather.
We're
in cahoots in perpetuity. Yay. All right.
Perpetuity.
More soon, team.
Take care.
Here we go. Woo-hoo. Oh, yeah.